If parenthood came with a GPS, it would most likely just say recalculating. Join Yolandi Becker and her guest experts Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Bump and Beyond, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And yes, it is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. Last week was such a nice show for me, in all honesty. I took the time to reflect, obviously, on 2024. And my guest today also sent a voice note as she was reflecting and also then just thinking a little bit of about what we want for our families in 2025. And since then, I've really been thinking about this topic a lot because, as I mentioned last week, I am not big on New Year's resolutions at all. And I actually reflected on why I don't like it, because in all honesty, again, like I said, I actually like goals and it's a long-term tick list or to-do list. And I am a lover of to-do lists and ticking off things. And for me, that is what goals that give you purpose and direction. So I am a lover of those things. So I kind of reflected on why are New Year's resolutions for me such a big deal? And I think I feel it just, I don't know, the timing of it. I never start my year on the 1st of January. I'm almost always still on holiday when it's the 1st of January. I can't start something, I feel, on the 1st of January because I'm still in holiday mode. That was one of the reasons I feel it wasn't. And then I also felt like historically, I mean, most people have those things like want to lose weight, they want to stop drinking, they want less screen time, you know, all the standard things that people do. That just, I feel like, kind of set you up for failure. I'm sure lots of you get it right. I also last year, without intentionally saying it out loud, it was a big year for me when it came to health. So I kind of have these goals of like health is my goal. So it's not necessarily I coincidentally lost a lot of weight while doing it, but it wasn't my purpose, wasn't that. So again, somehow I am into it, but I'm not calling it a New Year's resolution for fear of something. Who knows? Like I said, maybe it's about just the setting up for failure and the idea of it, because it is a lot of pressure in the beginning of the year as well. And that's what I want to talk about today. Let me just get to the point and not talk around it constantly. And like I said, my guest today is a counseling psychologist and founder of the Parenting Partner. She's been on my show a couple of times before, Fiona Doman. Hello, Fiona. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi. Thanks for having me again. And yeah, especially on this day when school started, as we spoke about just before the show. Definitely, it feels like the year is starting today officially.
Yeah. See, now that you mention it. For all of those of you who haven't posted yet, please go post the pictures of your kids going to school. That's like you have to do that today. but yes, it is almost like the year is only now properly starting with the kids going back to school. But my topic today is really, I want to talk about, you know, setting realistic mom goals. I think sometimes lots of things. And for me, that's also something I really thought about the last couple of weeks, was because sometimes the new year can also be a little bit of a bummer, don't you think? Where you're like, you're expecting things to change. And then you feel a little bit bummed out because you might not have reached the goals that you set out the year before. And then I realized, also stupidly, I feel like how it took me that long. I first had to be bummed out to realize it, is that in the end, it's not over yet. I can still work on it. Just because it's not the new year doesn't mean it's not done yet. And that's what I kind of feel what it is about with For Mom, is that when you set out a goal, I had a very different purpose this morning of things I wanted to do. But unfortunately, life happened and I still worked a crap load. I just didn't work on what I wanted to work this morning. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly, I feel, that happens so much in your journey of motherhood, is that yes, you set out, I want to do it this way this year. And then along the way, there is just too many variables to control and life happens. But just because you didn't reach it 100% last year doesn't mean it's over now. I feel like you can still. And that's for me kind of, that was an aha moment. Like I said, I actually feel a little stupid that I didn't think of that before. But that's kind of for me, my takeaway for this year is that to continue working on those things that I wanted to achieve or want to continue to make my life rather than have it achieved, like finance, working on my finances, working on my health is one thing as well. And then a big one as well, of course, working on my family and my business. Mm-hmm. But I think it kind of works into those type of things. So how is it? How is your goals, Fiona, going, and how was it for 2024?
Yeah, so I think also what I learned from 2024 is that things doesn't work out the way you plan, but you can still learn from it. Mm. And I think sometimes, especially like, you know, reflecting is very important for me to sit down somewhere, even if it's in the first 2 weeks or 4 weeks of the new year. But I think sometimes you just want to get away from the bad things that happened in 2024, that you just want to almost suppress it and just move on with the new year.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of unfinished business actually looming there in the back of your head, where if you just face it and say, okay, it wasn't maybe as planned, but what did I still get from it? What did I still learn from it? While thinking about it, I think like even things like with small children, when, let's say, for instance, your child had to be hospitalized a few times because they fell sick, and that was, of course, not in your planning, then still looking at that and saying, okay, now I realize we should work on having a plan when things like this happen for this year. Or we should maybe revisit our health or, you know, just how we manage this year in general, you know, so we can really learn from those bad things also. But of course, I think there's a lot of, I always say, look out for what surprised you in every day. And even if that's your goal to say, okay, every day this year, I want to just have something that really surprised me, that really turned out better, or really just, it was such a joy and I didn't expect it, but that can even be a goal. So yeah. I think from 2024, I really learned like, yes, you have to have goals and some must be specific, but you really have to also just be in the moment sometimes and take every opportunity to learn from that and then adjust maybe as the year goes along or for the next year.
Yeah. And I mean, a friend of mine as well, she was also on the show a couple of times already, and she's one of the consultants at Goodnight as well. And she had quite, I feel, a tough year last year. Shout out to you, Megan. But I mean, in the same breath, she handled it like a boss. Mm-hmm. And I think also sometimes that for me is also when I've had a really hard day, often that is the reward that I see at the end of the day. It's like, hey, this was some unforeseen things. And I'm not especially in my past, not a very good handler of, I am very planned for a reason. I don't like surprises, even good surprises. I don't like it when I don't get it. But that's what parenthood is about. You have to be flexible. And I think, like you said, just sometimes being surprised by how you reacted in that situation and being proud of yourself. It's like, or even if it wasn't the best reaction, to think, hey, you know what, could have handled that better. Next time I can reflect on that. And I think it is also an important thing to look at and to think about when we get to, you know, yeah, reflecting. And also, I mean, there's also the reason, isn't that why we learn history in school and all those boring subjects, is we look at history. So, and even in your own life, in a way that is important, because, of course, we learn from those things. Mm. And it might be good learnings, it might be bad learnings, but that's life. And then again, then you have the opportunity to still work on it and also adjust and reevaluate.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Welcome back. Yes, this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker, and you're on 101.9 Hive M. As always, we're talking parenting, and specifically today, we're talking a little bit about setting realistic goals for 2025. And as a mom, realistic mom goals for 2025? And as always, I obviously also want you to be part of the discussion. So if you have any comments or questions or anything that you want to share, maybe your goal, maybe you have a cool goal that we can also reflect on a little bit, add to our list of, or maybe start making a New Year's resolution. You can WhatsApp me on 061-895-1019. I would love to hear if you have any insights on this topic. Fiona, my guest today is counseling psychologist and founder of The Parenting Partner. If you're not following them on social media yet, you should go follow her. She has got some cool tips and insights, and they also have workshops and all sorts of things. Fiona Doman is here. So Fiona, before we went to the break, we were talking a little bit about the reflection, but what are some of the like common challenges moms face when trying to create New Year's resolutions? And how can we then set more realistic goals?
Yeah. So I think just to have the time to sit down and think about it, that's the main challenge, sure. I think, especially if your children are still small. But you know what? I always say, Yolandi, that you can do it in bits and pieces also. I think the main thing is just to start somewhere. I'm a fan of writing it down and then changing it and going back and changing it maybe within a week or two. So just a few ideas, maybe starting to write it down, even if you are standing and waiting for the kettle to boil or whatever, or making a sandwich for your baby or your child or whatever, and you just quickly jot down a few ideas, that can already just set the wheels into motion to think about one or two things. So I think really not to feel like you have to sit an hour, but just take the small little bits and pieces of time that you have to start to write down maybe just one or two ideas. And then also I think sometimes the idea of, you know, it's almost like we have to attain that balance. We have to look at health. We have to look at family. We have to look at work. Sometimes I think that is also a challenge to get to everything and to start everything at once. So I think also there to say like, okay, my main priority if I go through this list is maybe family. And then you think about one or two things that you can start to do in terms of family. And then you can say maybe, okay, also in health-wise, what can I start? And then maybe it's okay to say health-wise, I know I'm going to start only in February, you know, or whatever, and then you can start then. But I think to the challenges can be to have time to start to think about it, and then also the challenge of just knowing that you can't get to everything all at once, so break it up in bits and pieces.
No, I like that. I really like it. I mean, the time, making the time to reflect and to, I mean, I actually, that's one of my, I guess, New Year's, let's call it a New Year's resolution, but it is something I've also been thinking about lately, is that I now want to take every day at the end of the day, 10 minutes while I'm lying in bed just before I fall asleep. And I've got a diary or a notebook. Let's not call it a diary. I don't talk about or write down my day stuff. That's what Facebook and social media is. But to just write down, like, you know, things that happen during the day. Maybe you would, like you said, call it surprises during the day. Also, just reflecting and being, I also feel like you're happy and you're reflecting and grateful for the day. That's the word I'm looking for, grateful for what you have during the day as well. That's kind of, so a gratitude journal, I think, is the official word for that. Mm-hmm. But also then to just plan a little for the day. So taking 10 minutes of just quietly sitting and thinking about the day and what's happening the next day. So that's kind of my, so it's 10 minutes. Can't possibly take that long for anyone. I think all of us can find that. And but I like the idea of you also thinking about the balance. And for me, a big thing is that balance, as my children started getting older, that became in some ways a lot harder, that I can say, but in other ways a lot easier, because things like health and family time actually can start being the same thing.
Yeah, you can combine it.
Yeah, and that becomes easier because certain things, activities you can't do with babies. So you can't go for a hike. Can't go cycling. There's certain things you just can't. You can't push them in the stroller, but I wasn't such an avid runner when my kids were babies and things. Maybe it's something. But sometimes it's also helpful to think on those type of things when you're looking for balance to see which things you can combine.
Mm-hmm. And then very true, because then you are also saving time. And I think the time constraints on a parent, that's always like a reality for everybody. So trying to think creatively and combining, definitely very important. But I think also in terms of balance, Yolandi, if you think sometimes about a baby of a new or a mother of a new baby, they already spend like a lot of time on the baby. So then if you spend 90% of your time on the baby, then there isn't balance. So then you should say, okay, but then I have to maybe not go and say, okay, I must divide it into 10%, but just say, okay, I have to start to create maybe a little bit more on the other side as well for self-care or for family time or for friendships or whatever. So maybe just take 5% of the baby time and put it into the friend time zone. Yeah, and then that will also maybe also calm your nerves in terms of mom guilt that we will also talk about.
You just mentioned something else as well that, and I mean, the word self-care has also for me become such a thing now as a mom. I actually feel it's putting pressure on me. just that I was like, I have to make, and I mean, I already, just from my running, I already feel guilty about the time I spent running and not working, not spending time with my kids. Self-care for me, and I mean, so for me, running is self-care, and I don't add anything else to it. But I mean, that is like, how important is it? And I mean, again, you can't, we know all those silly sayings that they keep on telling us. You can't take care of someone else, you can't take care of yourself. You first have to put a mask on yourself before you put it on your baby, all those things. But it gives you, I feel it puts pressure on parents and moms if they're trying to take care of themselves, especially again, if you have a new baby.
Sure. No, that's very true, Yolandi. I always just try to ask myself a few questions to almost just get into grips with reality and what's really happening. And I always ask myself, in terms of self-care, I'm always saying, if I say no to self-care, what am I saying yes to?
Oh.
And if I say yes to self-care, am I really saying no to something else? Nee? Yeah. So sometimes I feel like we feel if we say yes to self-care or taking 10 minutes for ourselves or 20 minutes, we are saying I'm not taking care of my baby.
No.
Because now I'm looking after my, it's not the truth. Nee? Because your baby also have to learn and children also have to learn that they are okay by themselves. They also have to be okay with other people. You know, so actually it's not a, it's almost like not, it mustn't be extremes in the extremes. Nee? I think we lie to ourselves if we think really like saying yes to this thing is totally saying no to the other thing. And I think, of course, also in terms of self-care, it's very, very, very important. I always also say not to go to the extremes, but there's a principle, and I think we spoke about it in terms of disciplining children in the past, the 4-1 principle. So they say for every 4 no's that you give a child, there must be 1 yes.
Yeah.
Because then they still learn that, okay, mom or dad can take the lead. I must follow their lead, their certain boundaries. But then once in a while, you can say yes, because it also gives that sense of, okay, I also... you know, I'm also developing into my own person with my own needs and people can also listen to me. And I think we can take that to self-care also.
Yeah.
Almost throughout your day, if you think about, I did these 4 things already for my family or my child or my work, let me do 1 thing for myself.
Yes.
And that can be really just like sitting down and enjoying your cup of tea for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Or you know what, or maybe, you know, just going onto social media with your baby in your arms for 5 minutes because you feel disconnected from the world when you are a stay-at-home. Yeah. Now, because you've been caring, you've been doing more than four things maybe throughout the morning for your baby.
Oh.
So just take that moment to do that one thing for yourself.
Oh, I love that. I really love that. If you've just joined me, you're on 101.9 High FM. And this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. I'm speaking to Fiona Doman today, who is a counseling psychologist and the founder of The Parenting Partner. And we're talking about setting realistic goals for 2025. If you've just joined me, don't worry. Remember that all my shows are available as a podcast. And I encourage you also to go listen to last week's show where we spoke about, I didn't speak. I had lots of my previous guests send in some of their reflections on 2024 and their goals for 2025. And I thought it was such an inspiring kind of discussion. And this is what kind of made this discussion today happen where – and again, now we've been speaking about self-care and I loved what you said, Fiona, about that sometimes we just have to think a little bit about if you're saying no to self-care, what are you saying yes to and vice versa in the end of the day? Because that's often, and I mean, I have a personal experience with that is where I often run on Saturday mornings, but I run relatively early on Saturday and Sunday mornings. And then every now and then my husband actually alerted me to the fact where I'm like, oh, I think I'm not going to run tomorrow morning. I'm going to be here in the morning. And he's like, for what? No one's going to be, I'm going to be gardening or doing my thing. And the kids are going to be doing their own thing. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's true. So if I come in a little bit later, no one really misses me for that hour and a half or 2 hours that I'm gone because they're doing their own thing. And then when I come back, I feel great and we all can spend time together for the rest of the day. Or not always, because my kids are now at an age, unfortunately, where they don't want to spend time with me all the time anymore, which, you know, you always wish for it. The same thing is like, I was always like, my kids were always like, mama, mama, mama. And at the moment, they're very papa, papa, papa. And I wished for it for a very long time. And now I feel like, I don't like it. And that brings me to the next point as well of, you know, but I mean, you've already touched on it, mom guilt. And also you've mentioned there already that, you know, you shouldn't feel guilty about it because if you're saying yes, 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 yes to your family the whole time, that one time you're saying no, is it really, it's not, yeah. I mean, I think mom guilt is like something like 2.0. It becomes like really, and when your kids get older, I think it gets even worse because they can verbalize to you, hey, you're on your phone the whole time. Hey, you're running the whole time. Hey, it's like they're mentioning all the things. I can only see the things that I don't do right.
like a guilty conscience.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you've gained weight over holiday. Oh, you're drinking wine again. And that's all things I should be doing.
Yeah, kids, I think we learn more from them sometimes than we teach them.
Yeah.
Just as a side note. But I think, Yolandi, also what you said now in terms of mom guilt, I think sometimes it's also about the belief that we actually hold about like feeling guilty for not doing certain things or so. So I think you have to start there with why are you feeling so guilty? In my mind, you should feel guilty if you are doing something wrong. And a good starting point is really to just think about what are you doing right, actually. No. And not just hammer that one thing that you feel like you missed or you didn't do completely right or you didn't spend like 2 hours and you only spent 10 minutes or whatever. Then you have to go and look also at what you are doing right. And sometimes the proof is in the pudding. Sometimes you just have to say, you know, if we challenge beliefs in psychology, in any case, like in therapy, a lot of the time we will advise people to say, okay, if this is your belief, if you believe something bad will happen if you do not, I don't know, perform in a certain way at work, then sometimes you just have to take that step to just go into that direction and to see if your belief is actually a reality.
Yeah.
Or is it just something in your head? So it's difficult. It's difficult to take that step and to say, okay, for instance, I'm going to do my own thing for 2 hours now. Please, can someone else look after the children for 2 hours or to get a babysitter or whatever? But sometimes you have to do it to see if it's really that bad, if you really feel that guilty afterwards, or do you actually feel, yo, I'm well rested. I have more energy for the challenges ahead now. So no. Sometimes the proof is really in the pudding, but I think you really should challenge those beliefs by saying, okay, did I do something wrong? Should I feel guilty?
No.
And what are the things that can actually also show the positive and what I should be proud of? Also.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a beautiful golden thread now from the beginning of the show where I was saying that, and that's in essence the same principle of where I was saying that I feel guilty about certain things, but because I didn't necessarily achieve all the things that I wanted to achieve. But it's not done yet. Mm-hmm. I still have time to work on it. I still have, and to actually just challenge that thinking a little bit of, And I think that sometimes for me with parenting, especially when you have small children, and in all honesty, if you're in it with small children, it is a hectic time and I'm not taking away from it. But often in that being so stuck in it, when they're small, you forget to see the long game. Mm-hmm. And I think we give too much power to one. By the time you get to, and my kids are only 11 and 13 now, and I can see that the amount of decisions and actions I've only made in my parenting journey is also not even remotely done. I'm like, whatever, like a quarter of the way or whatever. But it's only now that I realize what that one action when my child was a newborn, how little impact it had on the bigger picture of it, mm-hmm. of the parenting journey. And sometimes as a mom, that's exactly what you're now saying, is that you're stuck in that one thing that you think, oh, it's this big deal, I've done this wrong now. I can promise you in a day or two, even maybe a week, you're going to look back at it and think, how did I think that was such a big deal?
Yeah.
And sometimes it might take a year for you to get there, sometimes longer. But the reality is that there's so many choices in your parenting journey. Just in a week, mm-hmm. just imagine the lifetime of decision, choices, actions you're going to be taking. Don't define your parenting and parenting style by one mistake.
Mm. Yeah.
Learn from that mistake and move on from it. And don't do it or try not to do it again. I can also assure you there's many, you know, like raising your voice, you're going to do it more than once. Mm-hmm. Snapping at your children, going to do it more than once. But learn from those things. And, you know, also learn to let it go. But I love that how you say, get into that moment. But I mean, that's difficult. Especially mm-hmm. when your moment is covered in vomit and poop and changing diapers. It's difficult.
And then it's fine, you know, you are still just human. So you can, you know, you can be emotional about it. But the thing is to almost also just say, I have to move forward and I want to move forward.
Yes.
From this feeling also.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
Yes, if you've just joined me, you are on 101.9 High FM. And this is Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And I'm speaking to Fiona Doman, a practicing psychologist. And we're talking about setting realistic goals. And it's been such a lovely conversation. So if you've missed it, don't despair. It will be available as a podcast on highfm.com. And I encourage you to go listen to it because I feel it's been very nice talking about being realistic about your goals for the year. And also, again, I love always having the talk about having grace on yourself as a parent because it is important. But that brings me to one of the next questions that I want to ask you, Fiona, is also about like boundaries. And I think this is often also, and I mean, there's certain people that it's easier to have boundaries with, like family or mother-in-laws. but there's other people that it's a little bit, and I think sometimes one of the boundaries, and I think we've also touched on it without outright saying it, is that you also have to have boundaries with your children. Mm-hmm. and that's something we forget, is that we are just like, we think we are their punching bags and we have to be there all the time. And the reality is that you have to think long term here. Again, don't have a short game, you have to have long game. And the whole purpose of parenting is to create independent, functioning human beings. You want them to be able to take care of themselves eventually. And this is the goal of what parenting is. And it's not there for you to do everything for them. You have to teach them how to do things on their own. They have to make their own mistakes. And you have to create resilient human beings. Because I want almost just swore on live radio. Because crap is going to happen. There's no two ways about it. And mistakes is going to happen. And they have to learn from those things. But what role does boundaries play in maintaining a healthy family dynamic? And how do you as moms set boundaries with your children, your family, your friends, your spouses? How? Boundaries. It's like, isn't it just being like this? No.
That's a good starting point. Way to start. Keep it simple. And very firm, but sometimes that's not enough. Especially as you said, Yolande, when they get bigger, they will challenge you a little bit more. But I think also with boundaries, I think if your motivation for it is in the right place, then it makes it easier. If you know that you are setting boundaries not to be an awful human being, even if they make you feel that way sometimes, but actually to teach them and, you know, not just for them to be a well-functioning person by themselves one day. But I think for me, I listened to this one talk, it was a few years ago, and this lady also said, like, if they can't see that you have boundaries, even in this close relationship, then they won't have boundaries with other people. So they will fall into a place probably where they just say yes to everything and all the suggestions coming their way one day because their parents just did. Because if they wanted to do something or wanted in a certain way, you just said, yes, it's fine. You just allowed it. And then they will learn like, okay, that's how life works. If people ask you something, you have to obey. That can also
go. It seems like we have.
Hello? Can you still give me?
It's like, I don't know who has the connection problem. There's like a three-way going on here. So it could be any one of us that's having the connection problems over here. But it seems like Fiona is back again. So sorry about it. I don't know if it, I'm blaming you, Fiona.
It's fine.
I don't feel I'm the weakest thing.
Me neither, but let's go with that for a while. It's fine. So what I've been saying is just, Yolande, I think really if you don't set that example that boundaries are good and healthy, then they won't learn that. And then they can fall into that trap one day where they just also go with whatever people suggest to them.
Yeah.
You know, and not.
And that's true. And you don't want your teenager to be saying yes to a whole bunch of things just like that.
Yes.
And I love that. And I mean, that's exactly it as a parent, that we need to be that. And I mean, I also just want to, on this disclaimer, it sounds like I'm all high and mighty and I have all the answers. This is not the case, guys. I am a flawed parent and I make lots of mistakes, and I'm sharing just with you some of my learnings. I for sure do not get this right. And I'm not a good example all the time. I literally just yesterday, I was telling my son something. And again, he's 13 years old and he's like, maybe you should also try that. In my, I'm not going to share it because I can't remember what it was. Yeah, it didn't stick. But yes, I do think I agree with that. That I think it is important to teach them the boundaries. But how do we then effectively set boundaries?
So, just on a practical level, I think really less is better, especially with smaller children. To, like you said, to say no and to be definite about your no. That's always a good starting point. We had a laugh about it, but that's actually a good starting point. Not to always allow discussions, because then, and discussions can start from a very early age. I think there's healthy discussions and then there's unhealthy discussions. But once you get into a discussion with a very small child, and it's almost a conflict situation and you have to convince him or her to do something, then it can turn into a thing where he feels like, okay, but I have a say because she or he is listening to what I'm saying. And in certain cases, they really just don't have a say. They, for instance, they have to rest. They have to eat healthy. They have to go to school. So I think there's ways how you can navigate that. But I think sometimes you also have to not feel guilty for not having a discussion and just saying, no, I know the reason and I can explain it to you later. But for now, you just have to trust me because I have your best interests at heart. That's it. And you have to be convinced about that also. And I think sometimes we also just on a practical level, sometimes we ask questions. We say like, why are you jumping on the couch? Get off there. So then it's almost like the child is still busy with the question and now you are telling him to do something.
No.
So you have to sometimes just say, I'm going to count to five and then you have to get off the couch. We are not jumping on couches in this house, for instance. Be very firm about it. And for small children, once they started an action, it's sometimes really difficult for them for the mind to set in and convince them otherwise. So it's even okay to sometimes also just physically take your child and help him. Say, I'm going to help you get off the couch now. No. And then you can go and play or you can do this or you can take your blocks or whatever. But I think it starts with those small little things to set boundaries in those small little things. And then it can, you know, grow into those bigger boundaries that's also necessary with bigger children.
And also I feel it takes practice. And the smaller your children, I think even as a parent and as a mom, as a human being, I think when you're young and you start working and you don't have children and you whatever, it's actually you're in a luxury position and you honestly have a lot less boundaries that are necessary when you don't also have the responsibility of someone else and you also have to think of someone else's time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But when you get to parenting, in all honesty, then it's sometimes overwhelming when you get into this where you now have to set boundaries, you have to say no. With some people, it comes a little bit more naturally. I am one of those people that do not really have. And I think my friends also, for instance, know that if I say no, I mean it. And I often don't even have to say anything about it because they know there's a reason for it. And even if that reason is I don't want to, it's a valid reason. But more on this conversation just now after the break.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker. Is brought to you with compliments of Dis-Chem Baby City.
And just like that, another show is coming to an end. It's been a very nice, insightful show talking about setting goals for 2025, being realistic and all that. And also, of course, letting go a little bit of mom guilt, or trying to let go of mom guilt. Practical ways of how you can make time, set boundaries for yourself. So if you missed the show, please go listen to the podcast on hifm.com. My guest today was Fiona Doman, the counseling psychologist and founder of The Parenting Partner. Fiona, thank you so much for joining me again today. It was really, really lovely having you and having this conversation with you, thinking a little bit, like I told you in the break as well, for me personally, I also take these times to also reflect a little bit, see how I can do things better. Again, not a perfect parent. Just because I sound like I know what I'm doing, it's not the case. I'm also just closing my eyes and hoping for the best. Fiona, before you go, where can people reach you?
Yeah, so Yolandi, as you mentioned, on social media, they can follow me there, or just Fiona Doman Psychologist, my website, or I think all the contact information is there. Yeah. They can WhatsApp or call, my contact information is on there, or they can mail to fiona.doman@gmail.com.
Great. Thank you so much for joining me. It was lovely having you. And as I mentioned, the show has come to an end, but you can go listen to it. But next week, I've also got a really lucky show coming up. I'm chatting with Katrin Pinor, who's a pregnant mom of soon now going to be. She's pregnant a second time. So she's going to be a mom of two children. And I'm going to talk to her a little bit about how it's different being pregnant the second time around and how the preparation changes and how the feelings change, how guilt becomes like 3.0 guilt, even though there's only two. It takes on a whole different dimension. And we're going to talk about that and how you're going to prepare, how she's preparing and how she's feeling about the whole process. So join me for that next week. It's going to be great. Again, thank you so much for reflecting with me on 2024. And I hope that you're going to be setting really great goals for 2025. And one of those should always be to be kind. The best example you can give your child is the example of kindness and being kind to others. So go out there, be kind. And thank you for joining me. Until next time, enjoy your day.